Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And I'd like to just take a little bit of time to consider a miracle here in the Bible that I'm sure you've read about before, but one that I was drawn to once again in these days in which we're living. Matthew chapter 15. And we're going to read verses 21 to 28. Matthew 15, 21. You'll just follow along as I read, please. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, she crieth after us. Verse 24, But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Notice the word, there's a word in verse 27, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs, which fall from their master's table. I'd like to speak to you for a little while here on this thought. Just a crumb, please. Just a crumb. Heavenly Father, thank you that we have your word, and more importantly, we have your spirit to help us to understand your word. And I pray that you would help us to rightly divide it, and that you would encourage us in this hour. Meet every need, Lord. We don't even know what they all are. But Lord, you know you can intercede on our behalf, and you can ask on our behalf and without us even knowing what to ask. And so we thank you for that. And I pray, God, that your word would be lifted high. Lord, if there's anyone listening right now that is not saved, we pray most importantly that they would be convicted of their need of the Savior and they would get saved. We pray for that one that's saved on their way to heaven, but feeling a bit down, feeling a bit discouraged even. They would recognize there's someone who's willing to give them just a crumb. In Jesus' name, amen. I think about this miracle. I've read it before. Possibly you've read it before. We'll look at it again in just a moment as we'll look at it from another vantage point of the gospel according to Mark. But I'm sure I'm speaking to many people this afternoon that would say, Pastor Turner, there's definitely some areas of my life right now, right at this moment, that I have something that is urgent in my life. I have something that is a need in my life. In fact, maybe you would go as far as to say, pardon me here, let me get a quick drink. Maybe you would go as far as to say, maybe you've said it this way, I have a God-sized need in my life. In other words, it's when I think of something that is God-sized, you know, you've been to McDonald's and said, I'll supersize it. Well, this isn't supersized, this is God-sized. In other words, it's something that we look at and we recognize that it's going to need divine intervention. By the way, we need divine intervention every day. It may not be something that you would look at like $8,000 to me. When I look at $8,000, now it may as well be $8 million, quite frankly. I'm not trying to be funny about that either, because there's a lot of needs that we have, financial, physical, spiritual. In other words, what I'm saying is maybe this week something's happened in your family that is just devastating. Maybe this year something's happened in your life that's you're still trying to process it all. You're still trying to move through it, and you're reading your Bible and you're praying and you're seeking the Lord, but it's still lingering. It's still there. The need is still there. Maybe it was a loss of a family member. Maybe it was a loss of a job. Maybe it was a loss of your health. I don't know what it might be, but There's God-sized needs everywhere. Possibly you're a mom or you're a dad. You're listening right now and you have an adult son or an adult daughter. And maybe they're not where they need to be in the things of the Lord. Maybe they've walked away from the church and they need to get back into the things of the Lord. They have a salvation testimony, but they're not walking with the Lord. And that's a burden. That's a challenge. That's something that is a God-sized need. Possibly a grandchild, or I don't know what it might be. There's numerous things that we could think of and that we could come up with. We need help. If you're in that predicament, and what is it that you need? You need help. You might need an encouraging hand. You might need an encouraging word. The point is this: you need help. I need help. We need someone that we can go to for a solution to this issue, a solution to this problem. Well, as you know, this lady in our text, Matthew 15, this Gentile woman, no less, talk about that in a minute, she had a great need. She had a great need. She had something. She was, okay, we could say this, it was desperation. Desperation is where she was. I've never been in a situation like this woman is. I can't relate to this in a sense of a son or a daughter in this particular predicament. I know of people that have been in this place before, helping people, ministering to people, but I'm speaking on the behalf of as a parent. I've never been in that particular situation before. But here is Jesus being approached by a mother who's in a desperate situation. And by the end of the confrontation, I think it's interesting that she doesn't ask for a loaf of bread. She asks for crumbs. In other words, she says there in verse number 26, verse number 27, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat from the crumbs." And we'll tell you a little bit about all this. But just thinking about that, that's really what she wanted. She recognized that in a sense of the power of the person who she was in the presence of, that just the crumbs were good enough for her, were all she would need. And we'll continue to develop this. She's asking for help on the behalf of someone she dearly loves. I want to encourage you right now, whatever the situation is that is pressing in your life, it's something that your mind goes to, it's something that your heart goes to, and you begin to dwell on it. Be careful about dwelling on it too long. But I want to encourage you, there is always hope for the child of God. There is always hope for the believer. We are not living in hopeless times. We are not living in helpless times. I'm talking to Christians right now. I don't know how someone without Christ could navigate through life. I don't know how someone without Christ could navigate through 2020. I don't know how someone without the peace of God on their life, I don't know how they can make it. And we know that many aren't making it because of that. And they're turning to all sorts of things. And I haven't looked it up for myself, but I've heard numerous people say how the suicide levels are climbing and climbing and climbing. And I'm not trying to give a hopeless message at all right now. In fact, I'm giving a hopeful message that as a child of God, there is always hope. There is always help available to us. God is never too busy to hear from His children. Have you ever felt that someone was too busy for you? You know, I know as a pastor, and I know everyone means well that says this, but I really don't like to hear it. They say, you're just, I know you're busy, but. And I understand what they're saying, and maybe you've said that to me, and I'm not critiquing you at all. And you may say it some of the time, but really, as a pastor, I want to be available. Of course, my first responsibility is to my wife, and then my kids, my home. I need to be available to them, and I don't even want to go into that times in my life where I've been too busy, and that was my fault that I was too busy even for my own home. But as a pastor, as an under-shepherd, I want to be available for the sheep. I want to be available for what they need. But you know what? I'm only one man, and yet God is everywhere. God is all the time. He is before the beginning. And so there's always help available to the child of God. Our Heavenly Father says, "I'm here for you. Cast all your care upon me, for I care for you." 1 Peter 5 and 7. And so let's look at several things by way of this text. Number one, in verse 22, we see the woman's plea. The woman's plea. There was a reason why this woman came to the Lord Jesus Christ. She came because her daughter was possessed or vexed with the devil. She came because she was concerned about her daughter. She came because her daughter needed help. She came because she was the one responsible for her daughter. We don't know where the dad is. We don't know if the dad is in the life of this daughter or not. But we know the child has a mother that cares for her so much. We know the daughter has a mother that cares for her so much. We know that this is a heavy burden. We know that it is something I'm sure that every day that this mother would deal with this particular daughter. And so there was a great reason that she came to him. There was a desperate need, a desperate need. Can I tell you tonight, we all have needs. We all need the Lord Jesus Christ. There isn't anyone here that can go a day without Jesus in their life. We need the Lord Jesus. So this woman's plea. Notice the word cried. The word cried. And behold, a woman came out of the same coast and cried. And then in verse number 23, the disciples said about her, "She crieth after us." This word crieth speaks of one crying out. It speaks of one shouting. So it was, you know, picture this. This woman is coming to the Lord Jesus. And I know my voice is a little, I'm in the preaching voice right now, but I can't, you know, bring your voice down and think about it. Just a normal talking voice. There's no crying involved when you have a conversation with someone. But when you see somebody that's about ready to get run over, or you have a sudden thing that comes into your life, normally your voice, all of a sudden, you get this adrenaline kicks in and stop. You know, you see your son's about ready to put his hand in the fire. Stop. You see a going for that electric outlet. And you know what I'm saying. And here, that's the way I think of it. Here's this woman. She's got this burden. It's heavy on her heart. And yet, she's heard of Jesus. She's heard of Jesus. You say, how do you know that? Let's go to Mark chapter 7. Remember, these Gospels, I like what Pastor Nathan said about reading a chronological Bible. I've done that before, and it is a wonderful thing to do. Yes, especially when you get to these Gospels and how one thing just lines up after another. I lent my chronological Bible to someone one time. Well, it's still lent, and I don't know where it's at. I'm not talking about, the other word lent. But anyway, look at Mark 7 and verse 25. Mark 7 and verse 25. This is the same story, only given to us by Mark. Okay? For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, notice this, heard of him, came and fell at his feet. And so I don't know how long she knew about Jesus. I don't know what she had heard about Jesus. Perhaps she had heard about how he healed all manner of diseases. Perhaps she heard about how he had opened the eyes of the blind. Perhaps she heard about how he opened the ears of the deaf. Perhaps she heard about maybe other demons who had been driven from other people. Maybe she heard about how he went to the Gadarenes and there was that gentleman. Maybe she heard about the feeding of the 5,000. I don't know what she heard. I don't know how much she heard. But the Bible says that she had heard of him. And because she heard of him, I don't know what she had tried before. Maybe she had gone to doctors. Maybe she had gone to this person. I don't know. But now she realizes, hey, Jesus is close to me. I know about this man. I've heard what he's done. I can imagine the little bit of hope leaped up in her heart, a little spark of faith leaped up in her heart that Jesus was going to be passing through. He's in my town. He's in my city. He's in my area. And so I'm going to him. I don't care what anybody says. I'm a Gentile woman. That doesn't matter. I'm going to him because I have a great need. This was a worrisome time, a wearisome time, a very difficult time. We see the plea of the woman. I wonder this afternoon, have you come to your wit's end over something in your life? Are you exhausted right now, spiritually speaking? Are you exhausted in spirit? Are you exhausted in the things of life? Again, it is a dark day. You know, at 4:30, it's dark. And on top of that, just all of the things that are swirling around us, I want you to have a point of hope, a place of hope, a person of help and hope. Don't forget God is in your life. Don't forget the Lord Jesus is there. Don't forget. Have you heard of him? Oh, yes, you've heard of him. You know he cares. I know he cares. And I'm telling you this afternoon, take it to the Lord. Take whatever it is that you need to the Lord and leave it there. He can move your mountain. He can meet your need. He can make everything, whatever it needs to be. He can do it. Everything he can do except fail. Go to Isaiah 55, please. Isaiah 55. We see the woman's plea. Isaiah 55, I love these verses of Scripture. Isaiah, of course, has been said that it's a mini Bible, 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah, 66 books in the Bible. Much to learn and read in the book of Isaiah. I encourage you to read through all of the Bible. If you haven't read through all of the Bible, start somewhere. Get in that thing. Read it. You need to read every word of the Bible at some point in your life. And keep reading God's Word. Verse 55, Ho, everyone that thirsteth. Notice, come ye, come ye. That's an invitation, right? Come ye, Isaiah 55, 1. Come ye to the waters. Look, isn't this good? I like this next statement. And he that hath no money. Man, I'm telling you what, a bunch of Baptists should be underlining that verse right there. Come on now. He that hath no money, what does he say? Come ye. You're thirsty. Come ye. You need financial help. Come ye. Buy and eat. Yea, come. Buy wine and milk without money. What? Yes, God takes care of everything. God gives us everything. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. Let your soul delight in itself, in fatness. Incline your ear. Come unto me. Just over and over again. Come unto me. Come to me. Come to me. In other words, here's the invitation tonight, this afternoon. Here's the invitation. Stop bearing the burden on your own. Come to him. This woman had a great need, and she went to the one who could meet the need. Let's go back to our text in Matthew chapter 15. So number one, we see the woman's plea. Number two, we see the woman's persistence. Persistence. In verses 23 to 27, this woman comes to Jesus for help. And when she doesn't get the response, she doesn't leave. Maybe the response that she thought was coming. She doesn't leave. She stays after it. She stays with him. God meets the need. Notice some things that she overcame. You know, many times in your life, there are going to be obstacles that come up in my life, come up in your life. And don't allow an obstacle that comes up in your life to cause you to take your ball and go home, and you're not gonna go forward anymore. I'm just gonna take my ball and go home. No, an obstacle is an opportunity. An obstacle is an opportunity for God to prove His power in your life and mine. If everything were all smooth sailing, you know what would happen? I would think, man, I'm pretty good. I mean, life just smooth sailing. You know what? Those obstacles that come in remind me, hey, Turner, you need God. Hey, you need the help of the Lord. Hey, you didn't get here on your own. You're not self-made. You got here because of God and God alone. And an obstacle is an opportunity for me to draw closer to God. Would you not look at 2020? I hope and pray that you're not wasting this opportunity. You know, I think 2020 is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to get closer to God than you've ever been. I firmly believe it in my own life, and I'm not where I need to be. I'm not saying I'm there. I'm just saying this is the biggest opportunity that I can think of in my life, in the ministry time that God has allowed me to serve Him with my life. This is it, and I'm telling you, I don't want to waste it. I don't want to waste one moment. I don't want to waste 1 hour. I don't want to waste a month. Here we are live streaming once again. Praise God. I don't want to waste it. This woman had an opportunity of a lifetime. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus, and an obstacle gets in the way. What is the obstacle? Well, the first obstacle was her race. Her race. She was not Jewish. Notice it says in verse number, verse 22, a woman of Canaan. A woman of Canaan. She was a Canaanite. This tells us two things. One, she was descended from a cursed people. When Joshua led the people of Israel into Canaan, they had been commanded to totally destroy the Canaanites, Deuteronomy 7 and verse number 2. However, notice as it goes on, let's continue reading. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried, saying unto him, have mercy on me, O thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Notice, she said, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Here was a Gentile mother crying out to the Jewish Messiah. Now, he's the Messiah for all people, but here we have to see that in context. In other words, she had no right to come to Jesus through the door of Judaism. She was a Gentile. And notice it says in verse 23, he answered her not a word. She actually overcame as well. She overcame rejection. Rejection. You know what? When we pray, I believe God hears our prayers. And by the way, I believe he answers them too. But not always how you want them. Does that mean I should stop praying? No. Oh, God, please do this or please do that. And by the way, you should. Matthew 7, 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. But just because I don't get the answer that, you know, $8,000 we need. But if God doesn't give me that, that doesn't mean I don't believe God's able to supply. I keep asking and asking and asking according to the will of God. But here's the rejection. He gave her no answer. He ignores her. And then he has the audacity, we would think, to say, basically, I came for Israel. Look at verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Wow. But yet she persists. She continues on. Notice verse 25. She came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. You know what? Today, none of us deserve the bread that God has for us. None of us deserve the blessings that God has for us. None of us deserve the air that we're breathing right now. We don't deserve that. None of us deserve to have the Bible. Oh, but boy, thank God for the B-I-B-L-E. I mean, what a precious gift. Again, this is something that 2020 has not been able to take from us, right? Praise the Lord. The Word of God. It's here. I mean, get into that book. Stay into that book. The point is this. This woman did not deserve it. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. But notice how she comes humbly to him. And she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Are you there tonight? Are you there this afternoon? God hasn't answered your prayer exactly how you want it to. God didn't spare the life of your family member, maybe that passed away this year. Many have. Many have. Whatever you were asking of God, he just didn't do it how you wanted it to be done. And this is what's happening right here. What is it? It is a test. It is a trial. Again, remember, this woman is in the midst of a situation. She doesn't know what's going to happen in verse number 28 like we do. And yet we see something from this dear lady, this dear Gentile Canaanite woman, no less. We see something from her that we need, I need in my life. That even though God doesn't grant exactly what she wants when she wants it, notice the humility of this dear woman. Notice the humility of this dear lady as the Bible says that she continues to worship him. I can see it now. Maybe there was a cry made at the beginning and now there is a humbleness, a worship spirit here, worship spirit of this lady here where she says maybe in a little softer voice, nothing wrong with crying out, but in a little softer voice, Lord, help me. Lord, I just need help. You're the only one that can. I know. And we don't have all this. I'm not saying she said more, but I just think what would go through my mind. You know, I've heard. I know you can do it because you've done it for somebody else. Lord, help. And then he takes it up another level. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. You see, that's what the Gentiles were called in this day. to cast it to dogs. And she said, verse 27, truth. Truth. Wow. Yet the dogs, Master, yet the dogs, Lord, they get the crumbs which fall from the Master's table. And then this brings us to number three. Number three, which is the woman's prize. The woman's prize. Jesus had watched this woman. He had heard her cry. He had what would we would say, he ignored her, but yet she continued to humbly worship him. She agreed with him, yes, you're right, Lord. But even a dog gets a crumb every now and then. If you've ever had a dog, you know how that works, right? I remember having a dog years and years ago. I remember being in homes where dogs are, and I remember one time, I don't remember where it was, but more than one time. This doesn't happen a whole lot. Dogs wouldn't survive if they were eating, wanting to find scraps around my seat and crumbs around my seat, because not much falls off my plate. But it's happened before, and you know, you start looking, and I remember several times people saying, oh, don't worry about it, Fido will get it. That wasn't the dog's name, but you know what I'm saying. Because they've got this built-in vacuum cleaner with four legs. The vacuum cleaner, he just keeps going, and I remember a few times being at tables where all throughout the meal you could just feel something bumping your legs. And it wasn't the person next to you kicking you. It wasn't the person across from you kicking you. It was the dog going from in and out from each person's legs and chair. Because, you know, when you get a 2 or a 3-year-old eating, though, at the table, I think Fido knows exactly where to camp out. Right under the 2 to 3-year-old's chair. Because why? Normally more food at times is lost from that table or that bowl and hits the ground. As soon as it hits the ground, nourishment right there. It beats puppy chow, I guess. I don't know. That's the illustration I get in my mind, is that here's this mother saying, yes, you're right. You're right. You're right, Master. You're right, Lord. But even the dogs get crumbs every now and then. Which leads me back to the theme of this afternoon's message, and that is this. Just a crumb, please. Just a crumb. She was just wanting just a little bit of the power that was in the voice of the Messiah. Just a little bit, just for you to say so. Even as the man who even came, or Jairus would come at some point as well and ask for help. The prize of the woman is seen in verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said, you know, I mean, obviously he's God. He knew what was going to take place, but just think about it. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. In other words, whatever you ask for, that's what's happening. Amazing. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. The Son of God is amazed at the depth of this woman's faith. Her faith had been tested by his own words. Her faith had risen to the challenge. Her faith had exceeded the people of that of the people he had come to save even. The Jew, right? Here's a Gentile woman. And he says, wow, great is your faith. This Gentile dog had more faith than any of the religious elites of her day. And Jesus Christ said to her, whatever it is that you've asked for, whatever it is that you've prayed for, that's what's going to happen. Wow. What a blessing to read about. What a challenge. Today we are living in a situation. Today we are living in a problem. We are living in a difficult time. We have pain in our hearts. We have pain in our souls. And we have different things that are comparable, but not maybe the same as this woman. We have prayed. We have asked God for deliverance. We have begged God to do something, and nothing seemingly has happened. Oh, don't lose heart, dear friend. Don't lose heart, dear child of God. Be encouraged today. Don't look for the loaf of bread. Just seek the crumb. Seek one little smidgen from the power of God. That's all we need. We don't need the full power. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, all of God's power. He's got enough for everyone in this whole world. I just want a crumb of God's blessing, a crumb of God's power. Don't stop asking. Don't stop seeking. Keep near the Father's table. Be humble and watch God do great and mighty things. What happens though is this. Our adversary, the devil, and even our own flesh begin to talk to us. Say things like this: "It's no use. God doesn't care. It's no use. Just stop bothering God. It's no use. It's never going to change." Have you ever said that before? "It's never going to," or "it's never going to happen." That's not from the Lord. That's from Satan himself. That's from our adversary. That's maybe from within us. I want to encourage you, there is hope. This could be the day that the Master responds to the prayer and the cry of your heart. Today might be the day when the mountain is moved and your faith has been proven to be real. Don't stop asking. Don't stop seeking the crumbs from the Master's table. As we said earlier, there's Jairus, and he places his daughter in the hand of Jesus, and Jesus raises her from the dead. And there's Lazarus in the tomb, and Mary and Martha are weeping and grieving. And he says, "Roll the stone away," and Lazarus come forth. And there's a multitude that has no food, just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And God does a miracle, and everyone goes home full. And there's a leper, and he's healed. And there's a blind man that can see, and there's a crippled man that can walk. And on it goes. And oh, by the way, the greatest miracle that ever took place is on a hill called Calvary. There he is, the Lord Jesus Christ, hung between 2 thieves. And he takes all of your sin and all of my sin on his back. And because of that, we can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. That no matter what is happening on this world, it is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasure is laid up somewhere beyond the blue. How did that happen? That happened because of the Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I'm telling you, God gave you his Son. He can give you anything that his will is for your life. Keep asking, keep seeking, stay close to the table. Stay close to the table. Just the crumbs, please. This is just a small sample of what God has told us in his word. Over and over again, we see the mighty power. I love that song, don't you? I sing the mighty. Do you need to be saved? Do you need a mountain moved? Do you need to have a restored faith and fellowship? What is it? What is it? What is it? Stay close to the table. Many have wandered from the table. They've wandered from the table of the blessings of God. God's there and he's dealing it out. And he's dealing it out. And even the crumbs are falling off. And right there, that's all I need. Just right there. Just a crumb. What do you need tonight? What do you need today? God has it. God has it. Stay close to the table.